One day, an old married couple came into Mickey D's. You know what Mickey D's is? You got it? Went in there to get a bite to eat. The woman went to find the table for both of them to sit down while to eat, while her husband went to get in line to order their food. When the husband's turn came for him to order, he asked for one large Coke, two straws, one Big Mac, and one large order of fries. When he arrived at the table where his wife was sitting, he then put their food on the table and then sat down beside his wife. Before the both of them began to eat, the husband gave the Coke with the two straws to his wife for both of them to drink out of together. Then he unwrapped the Big Mac and began eating it with the fries while his wife just sat there quietly watching him eat. Now, what do you suppose is going on there? Is this just some custom where the man eats first, as it should be in all homes? Is that it? I want to get some. So, all right. No, what was going on? Well, here it is. While he was eating, so get the picture. Here's his food: one order of fries, one Big Mac, one Coke between them. The man is eating. The woman is just dutifully sitting there watching this. Dutiful wife. This guy watches what's happening. He's incredulous. How could some guy treat his wife like this? Or maybe they don't have money, but something's out of order here. This is terrible. And so he gets up and he walks over to their table and says, excuse me, sir, it's rough times today. I understand that. If you wouldn't mind, I'd be glad to buy your wife a burger and some fries, something so she can eat along with you. I don't mean to be offensive, but obviously you don't have enough money. Well, the old man said, "No, thank you, my son. It's not necessarily that we don't have enough money, but you see, a long time ago, we decided to share everything." The young man asked, "Then why is your wife not eating? You're the one doing all the eating. How come she's not?" Well, he said, "You see, my wife is just waiting for me to finish eating my half of the food first. And then when I'm finished eating, I will remove, it's not a joke, I will remove the dentures from my mouth, give them to my wife. She'll take them to be cleaned, and she'll return them, and she'll eat her portion of the food." Now, that story was certainly not meant to gross you out. Actually, I didn't foresee that reaction. My pure mind was simply stuck on how beautiful it was that they were sharing together. You're all grossed out. Okay. I thought, what a beautiful picture of communion. Now, we may not be sharing dentures this morning, right? At least I won't be. Although when I was in Russia, we did share the communion cup together. They give you a kiss on each side of your cheek during the foot washing. I wasn't prepared for that. These men came up to me and started kissing me on the cheek. Then they put on an apron to serve. And at communion time, they all drank from the same cup. But that was to show their community, right? So that was beautiful in that sense. Well, this morning, Jesus has invited us to share in a very special meal, hasn't he? He's invited us to his table. How many of you would be excited if President Obama invited you to the White House to share a meal with him? How many of you would think that would honor? Whether you're a Democrat or Republican, how many of you would think that was nice, right? Okay, I mean, that would just be neat. Well, how would you feel if Jesus Christ himself invited you to share a meal with him at his house? Wouldn't that be awesome? Wouldn't that be awesome? Jesus said, "Come with me. I'm going to take you for one afternoon up to my throne room, and we're going to have a banquet spread." Wouldn't that be beautiful? I think it would be just absolutely marvelous. And so we are the temple of God today, aren't we? And God's presence is with us, and He's actually invited us to share a meal with Him. Isn't that beautiful? He's asked us to join Him. And I thought, you know what? So we can all better participate in this special meal, I'd like to quickly share 7 things that can help us prepare for this special meal with Jesus. Is that okay today? Can we do that? Just 7 quick things. No handout today. It's so simple. But how do we prepare for this special, to enjoy this special meal with our Savior? Here's the first one. The first thing, what's the first thing we do before eating at someone's home? Well, of course, we've accepted the invitation, but now you're on the way. And usually when you get there, what do we ask to do? Often. What was that? Yes. Wash our hands. In other words, if someone asks you, if you've ever been to the Mealy estate and been to one of their fancy spreads, you would not work in the garden or your garage and then go to their home and sit at their table without first washing their hands. At least I wouldn't. Dennis, not me. All right. You don't show up all greasy and grimy when you go to your host home. And so, you know what Psalm 24 says? Who shall ascend unto the hill of the Lord? Or who shall stand in His holy place? He who has what? Clean hands and a pure heart. Isn't that beautiful? So we first, before we go to eat with the Lord, you know, the Bible says we should examine ourselves before we eat the bread and drink of the cup to see if we've truly come to Jesus. And let's face it, most of us are sinful, aren't we? Isn't that the truth? Most of us anyway, right? All of us are sinful. See, a lot of heads going, yeah, it's true, Pastor. Many of us are. Probably meant it a different way than I meant it. Yeah, because I saw that so-and-so last week. No, all of us are sinful. And in preparing for communion, we may need to see something that needs to be confessed or reconciled or, in other words, cleaned up. So in preparing for this meal, that's why we always announce it the week before. Let's take a week to clean up. Not to become perfect. None of us is perfect. But to give. So when we come to the meal, the cleansing blood and the love of Jesus has much more of a benefit upon us as we partake of it. It will do us that much more good as we're ready to enjoy the benefits of the meal. But some say, you know what, Pastor? I'm not even going to get ready for this meal because God can never forgive me. He just can't. And so they don't participate. Here's one of the greatest gospel truths I have ever learned and clung to. Here it is. Do you realize that God would not have sent Jesus to die for our sins unless He had already forgiven us from His heart? Do you realize that? Forgiveness did not happen when Jesus died. It would already took place in God's heart. But when Jesus died, He made that forgiveness legal. For all of us, it was just that He could forgive when Jesus died. But forgiveness was already His disposition when Jesus came. For God so forgave that He gave Jesus to die for our sins. It was already there. So don't be afraid of not having a clean heart and saying, I can't come. Because if you ask forgiveness for your sins, God will do it because it's already in His heart to forgive you. But you must ask, because He'll never force. Next, before dining, it's always good to have a good what? Good what? Appetite. All right? Be like David and have a good appetite. Right? What would happen if you were invited to someone's home for dinner? You know what? I pick on Dr. Mealy. They have been very gracious to us. We have enjoyed several occasions. And it was Thanksgiving or Christmas. I mean, went both, but just all the wonderful food and the fellowship was so sweet and the worship that we had. And it was just a lot of fun. But Dennis, how would you have felt, and Valerie, if as we sat down to the meal, a bunch of us said, Doc, Valerie, this looks great. You know, you guys really outdid yourselves this time. I feel really bad now that we just went to Taco Bell and Burger King and 31 flavors after all this. That wouldn't make you feel too good as a host, would it? That'd be pretty sad. And so after all that, you'd have little appetite for the good stuff. Do you know what? Sometimes we eat so much spiritual junk that we don't have an appetite for the true spiritual food at communion. And you see, so God says, don't fill yourselves up in coming to this meal with all the spiritual junk so you can come here. You have an appetite for good spiritual food. Interesting verse, 1 Corinthians 10:21. Paul says, you can't drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of demons too. Isn't that interesting verse? You can't eat and drink from both. When we stuff ourselves with the junk food of sin, we lose our appetite for the banquet God has prepared for us. Number three, when we're dining with the Lord, we need time to enjoy the moment. Again, if you go to someone's house for a nice meal, wouldn't it be too cool if they have this big meal spread and you're barely finished and you say, gotta run. In some emergencies, that happens. But I mean, not normally do we do that, especially with the Lord. The Lord spreads a banquet and then you say, gotta go, finish this up, Lord. Thanks, but I gotta be off to other things now. No, enjoy it. We live in a fast food world where eating at home, we don't take the time to savor a meal. And what do we do at worship and even in our devotional life? Let's get through this because we've got other things to do. No, Jesus says, savor the moment with me. Savor those beautiful moments. Linger. The table is the time to be relaxed. You know how they ate in those ancient times, in the times of Christ? They reclined on their side and there was a low table and it was a matter of many courses and hours of fellowship. The food was just a reason to gather over fellowship. Would you want to rush out the door if Jesus were hosting a meal for you? Number four. Next, we need to bring harmony to the table. Why did God create us with the need to eat? I think there's a few reasons, but one of them is the need for fellowship. Meals are supposed to bring us together in harmony and mutual affection. What kind of fellowship meals would we have if after church today, I go out there and there are food fights and we've got sushi flying across the tables and we've got desserts flinging at each other and people are yelling at each other and pouring guava juice on someone's head. Would that be a true fellowship meal? I don't think so. It might. Some of us might enjoy it, but it wouldn't be good. I did a wedding one time when, no joke, one of the party members came up and took a big piece of cake. And you know I did not deserve it. All right. Now, the Lord's table is a time, and foot washing is really the time. And during the week, if possible, when we seek to heal our differences with one another so that when we come to the table, there could be harmony and joy at the table. Number five, when we come to the table of the Lord, we need to bring gratefulness for the meal. Jesus gave thanks, and so should we when he broke the bread. I once read of a kitchen apron that said, kiss the cook. Isn't that neat? Kiss the cook. Jesus prepared this meal through the sacrifice of his own body. So kiss the cook because he deserves our gratitude. Number six, we need to come to God's table with loyalty. You know, if your family owned a restaurant, you would frequent it. You would tell others about it. Remember Paul's words about trying to eat at the Lord's table and the table of the demons as at the same time? God is telling us not to eat at the competition of the evil one. When you eat, be loyal to your host. Be loyal to your guest. I once heard of a couple that went to someone's house to eat. They thought the food was portions were so small and the food so terrible that they went to a restaurant right afterwards. They said this wasn't good enough. Well, guess what? The people serving the meal were so stingy, they purposely gave them such small portions. So they said, after these people are here, let's go out to eat. And they all wound up at the same restaurant. Folks, we need to come to God's table with loyalty and not eat at the competition. Let me tell you about the food of demons. Their food often tastes good going down. But let me tell you, it'll only give you spiritual food poisoning in the end. So when we partake in communion, we're declaring our undivided loyalty to our host and what he prepares for us. Number 7, finally, we need to leave the Lord's table with purpose. Purpose. Eating well makes us strong. But what does this meal give us strength for? Eating well physically makes us strong. Rosebud will attest to that, right? But what does eating this meal prepare us for? What does it give us strength for? For the purpose of demonstrating to the world the truth about Him. That He's a God of total self-sacrificing love. And He deserves our utmost loving response. So what do we get strength from this meal to do? For what's the purpose of eating this meal? It gives us strength to tell the world the truth about God by word and by deed and action. By both. And that's what it gives us strength for. I'm convinced the best food and drink we could ever partake of is the table the Lord has set out for us and invited us to. Of all the meals in the world, I'd never want to miss a meal that Jesus has personally prepared and invited me to. Wouldn't you? And that's the meal above all meals you want to come to. And He said, do this, right? In remembrance of me. And as long as you do this, you do show my death till I come. So accept the meal today. Eat the body broken for you. Drink the juice, the blood that was shed for you. And let them point you to the only one who can truly fill your soul.